Everybody have a handout. Everybody have a handout. Anybody need a handout? Okay, I had two handouts tonight. I don't want to take a lot of time with one, but wanted to put something in your hands about the statistics in ministry. Hope you got a copy of that. If not, make sure we get one on the way out. Want to share a couple of those with you. Maybe some of you had a chance to look at that tonight before services started. And we're going to look at, go ahead and turn to Romans 8:37. Romans 8:37, we'll look at how to be prepared for Satan's landmines. I'm going to talk a little bit about how to pray for your pastor over the last several weeks, obstacles in the ministry, and a variety of things. And then I took some time and went online and did a little research and kind of updated some statistics I already had. Most of these statistics are current within the last 1 or 2 years. And I don't want to take the time to go through all these statistics, but I wanted to give you something to put in your hands to look at a later time, not while I'm speaking tonight, but a little bit later. But I think it's good to teach you, encourage you, and show you the areas that we need to pray for, not only our country, for pastors in general. You know, I went through, and I'm going to just read a couple of these, and I made notation on just a couple of things. Over 17 pastors left the ministry every month last year. Honestly, did you ever think it was that many? 1,700 ministers left the pastorate last year. Many denominations report an empty pulpit crisis. They cannot find ministers willing to fill the positions. The number one reason pastors leave a ministry, church people are not willing to go the same direction and goal of the pastor. Pastors believe God wants them to go in one direction, but the people are not willing to follow or change. I think that goes in some other areas. Sometimes a pastor misrepresenting himself coming in as a new pastor or making changes, but still, nonetheless, there's one thing about ministries. The blessing and the curse is the same word. Can you guess what it is? People. I'm sorry, but it is. It's either a blessing or it's a curse. And that's just regular and general in life. 50% of ministers start out will not last 5 years. You wonder why there's a shortage. Look at a couple others. Many pastors' children do not attend church now because of what the church has done to their parents. It doesn't mean necessarily what the parents, I like to rephrase that, what they feel. It's what the parents feel that the church has done to their parents. Sometimes there's some truth in it, but sometimes it's not always what is seen as seen through the eyes of a child or a teenager. 90% feel they are inadequately trained to cope with the ministry demands. Do you think people, those who go to Bible college and prepare for the ministry, most Bible colleges don't even talk about how to do a funeral, how to perform a wedding, how to do a baptismal, how to serve the Lord's Supper. I have stories on that, funny stories on that. But I was blessed to have a pastor that wanted that at his college because the first funeral he ever performed, he was so nervous he stepped off and fell in the grave. He said, that will never happen. When he started the Bible college, he said, that will never happen to any of my preacher boys. And we had mock funerals, mock baptisms. We went through the process of the Lord's Supper. But still, there's things in Bible college that I did not learn. There's different walks of life and with people, and things come up that you would never expect. 80% of pastors and 84% of their spouses feel unqualified and discouraged as role of pastors and pastor's wife. 50% feel unable to meet the demands of the job. 70% do not have someone they consider a close friend. Let me define that a little bit more. I'm your pastor, and I love you, and I want to be a friend to you. But you know there's just some things I can't talk to you about. I can't. Pastor will ruin his ministry if the word gets out or people feel that he has loose lips. Not only is it wrong to do that, in a sense, it's a burden a pastor carries. There are some things he doesn't even tell his deacons because of some of the burdens. That's why it's important that you pray for your pastor. I get an email, I tell you, every month about past churches needing a pastor. I got another email this past week, two more churches added to the list looking for a pastor. About 70% looking for a full-time pastor, about 30%, sometimes it's 60-40, where they cannot afford a pastor, but are looking for a bivocational pastor because they're not able to fully support them. 50% of pastors feel so discouraged that they would leave the ministry if they could, but have no other way of making a living. A lot of pressure, a lot of stress in being in the ministry. That's why it's important that you pray for your pastor, pray for young preachers. We're going to have three Bible college groups come through with us this summer. Before the summer's over, I think there'll be three. We need to pray for these young men and young ladies who are praying, considering going into the ministry. Some go to Bible college just for 1 year because mom and dad asked them to. And then after that, they make a decision on staying or where they're going to go. It can be difficult. It can be hard. But at the same time, it's a very blessed and very prosperous and very enjoyable ministry. There are good days and bad days. I've enjoyed the ministry. Have I been hurt? Yes. Have I had hard times? Yes, without a doubt. But I've had just as many problems with other preachers than I have with church members. You know, that's the thing about it is, if it wasn't for people, I'd have no problems. But if it wasn't for people, I have no ministry. And most of us read statistics, and I need to move on. Most of us read statistics or read on the internet about bad pastors, about people that are venting because they were hurt by a pastor. They were hurt by a church. You know, there's also, it's not out there, and you'll have a hard time finding these because most pastors don't go out and make lists on how, why and how bad they were treated. They just don't say anything. The good ones don't. There's some that do, and there's some that have an axe to grind. But I said all that and continuing what we've been talking about and praying for your pastor, how to pray for him tonight. We'll talk about landmines. And these spiritual landmines that you go through are the same ones pastor go on as well. You have to remember your pastor, the pastor's wife, their family, they get up and start their day just like you do. Many have a different impression. Some children that are involved in ministry have a different impression of what it's like because they don't always know and don't understand. Just because a gentleman doesn't get up and go in and punch a clock 9 to 5, 5 and 6 days a week doesn't mean they're not busy. In other words, there's many days that I'm not here at the church. I am here many days, but there's also some days that I'm not. But it doesn't mean that I'm not busy doing something, whether studying, visiting, having a meeting, or doing something to help with the church, to see the church and to reach our community and meeting people. So it's important that we pray for your pastor, pray for one another, pray for our country, and pray for these churches that are without a pastor, that God will provide someone and God would help them, or even some that may combine to one where they can support. See, the problem most churches, and I hate to say this, is let it hit home, most Baptist churches, we multiply through division. Y'all get that in a minute. We multiply through division. That's why in some states, especially down south, there is a Baptist church on every corner when there used to be only one. And you count one church for every split for the main church. It's sad that we don't sit down, talk, work things out. And it's also sad on the other end that sometimes folks don't follow leadership. And that leads to those problems. You know, don't get upset with me. The Lord established the hierarchy of the church. He did, not me. The Word of God. And I do my best to follow that. All right, how to be prepared for Satan's landmines. Romans 8:37. Bible says, "Nay, in all things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us." I'm going to challenge you. I'm going to start with a phrase. I'm going to end with it. Don't let hidden danger sabotage your testimony and your ministry. The landmines are out there. We've been talking about victory this morning, victory over temptation. There'll be a little overlap tonight, but I think it's important. Number one, how to be prepared for Satan's landmines. Number one, be surrendered. Be surrendered. Surrender your life to the Lord. Make a decision now. Young people, if you're here, those even adults, if you haven't been saved very long, just make a decision. I'm going to surrender my life. I'm going to give it to him. Whatever he wants me to do, wherever he wants me to go, I'm going to serve him. You see, an intimate relationship with God is the most important line of defense that we have in this world. That relationship with him. I made the comment the other day, and many of you laughed because you know exactly what I'm talking about, is that Michelle and I have been married long enough that we can finish each other's sentences. We know what we're thinking many times before we even say it out loud, or we say something, go, I was just thinking about that. That's the kind of relationship we need to have with the Lord. Talking, communicating with him through prayer, and letting him speak to us through the Word of God. If you are still trying to control certain areas of your life, then you are already standing in the middle of a minefield. Let go, as I said this morning, and let God. Don't feel that there's any part of your life where you have control of. If you are, then you're not surrendered. You're not giving over to the Lord and what the Lord would want you to do or the Lord have you to do. The next step, again, if you're standing in the middle of a landmine, could be very deadly. Without thinking of the consequences, people become jealous, controlling, or unforgiving. They compromise their convictions, open the door to immorality, or yield to laziness of mind and heart, and they wonder why life has turned dark and stormy. You know, I haven't been here through these monsoon seasons that are coming, But I know from down south and back west and even overseas, when the clouds get dark and the thunder and lightning begins and all of a sudden it went from light to darkness, I know a good storm is rolling in. We're not always going to see a storm in our spiritual life coming our way. But I can guarantee you what? If there's something that you're not yielding your life to the Lord, you get lazy, you get off track, you begin to neglect some things, a storm will be well on its way, but you may not see it until the thunder sounds. Be prepared. On God's battlefield, surrender is not waving the white flag of defeat. Instead, it is a bold step taken toward victory, peace, and blessing. My friend, determine right now to submit your will to God daily. And I reference that white flag. It's the old white flag we know of surrender. Are we willing to surrender and say, Lord, I give in. I give up. I'm yours. I'm yours. Lock, stock, and barrel. There's no part of me that's not yours. And just be totally surrendered. Be surrendered. Surrender your life to the Lord. Number two, be teachable. Let me rephrase that. Be and stay teachable. Stay teachable. Ask him to teach you his truth. In other words, always be willing and ready to be in a mode of learning. A mode of learning. No matter how smart you think you are, no matter how well you think you know the Word of God, there's something new that you can learn if you're teachable and willing to learn and absorb the Word of God. And in chapter 6 of the book of Ephesians, Paul lists the full armor of God. I believe putting on the armor of God each morning is an essential part of being in the Lord's armed forces. When I was in the military, there's one thing that always took place every single morning. Those of you in the military know what I'm talking about, is that you get dressed. And the last two things that go on is your boots and your cap as you walk out the door. You're in uniform. You're there to serve. You're there to represent your country. And you go through that every single week. There's no choosing of what am I going to wear today when you're in the military. You have the fatigues. You're told what to wear. You're told how to cut your hair. You're told how to shine your boots. You're told how to put the medals on your uniform when you're in your dress greens or blues or whatever you're wearing. But you wear those fatigues and you wear the uniform that's been designated. In Ephesians chapter 6, God has given us the equipment, a uniform, that if we'll put on and be prepared, even if you have to remind yourself each morning that, hey, as before I go out this door, I need to put on the whole armor of God. Before I go out the door now, Michelle has a checklist. All right, you got your keys, you got your wallet, you got your Bible, you're going to church, you need it. We go through a checklist. I had the same thing in the military. As I got ready to leave, I went through a checklist. I want to make sure that I didn't want to leave without my hat because I wasn't getting out of my car and going to stand in formation, at least in the Army. I don't know about the Air Force. Same. You wanted to have that hat. You wanted to be in uniform. And we, as the soldiers of the cross, need to realize that God has given us a uniform. He's given us the armor of God in Ephesians 6. Know it, know how to use it, read over it, study it. And if you have to go through it on a daily basis in your mind until you learn it, Lord, help me and visually put on the armor of God as you start today. Be teachable, stay teachable. There is only one offense weapon that the Lord has given us, and is that we need to stay firm in our faith and against the attacks of Satan. It is a weapon that Jesus used when he faced the enemy of temptation we read about this morning in Luke, and it is the Word of God. Folks, it's important. Know the Word of God. Study the Word of God. And again, as I mentioned before, where you struggle in areas, find Scripture, memorize it. Write it on 3x5 cards. Carry them in your pocket till you have them down. But make sure you use the weapons that God has given you. Be surrendered. Be teachable. Not only be teachable, stay teachable. And number three, be a follower of him. Be a follower of him. Let me add something. Even in times of difficulty. Boy, we've got so many fans out there today. We got, again, that's that sports analogy. Everybody wants to jump on the bandwagon of the winning team. Everyone wants to be, oh yeah, I'm a fan, whatever it is. They want to be that fan of the team that is winning. And friends, we need to understand and realize we are on the winning side. And no matter how difficult things get, we stay with it. I mean, for years and years growing up, I was a Cubs fan. I don't know why I was a Cubs fan. I was from Florida, grew up in East Tennessee. And then Braves come along and they established a team in Georgia. So I went over to the Braves fan because they were closer and I might be able to go watch a ball game one day. But I enjoy sports. I enjoy ball games. But many people, as I mentioned sometimes, they get on the bandwagon to what is hot, what's going on, who is noticed. But we, as believers, and we follow him, even in difficult times, we should not sway or switch. See, if the devil can get you to scratch your head, we begin to wonder, well, is God really in control? Did he really reach out and hang the world on nothing? Does he really have... See, once he gets you to doubt and gets you to question, you give him that little area just to get in, he'll begin to get in and cause you problems. Be a follower of him, even in difficult times. The Bible does not teach a prosperity gospel. But yet we live in a time today that there is no escape and disappointment and pain in this life. We're going to have it. So there are those out there that preach a prosperity gospel. If you're not healthy and wealthy, and if you're not doing well, there must be something wrong in your life. Well, I don't see that in my Bible. In fact, anywhere in the Bible that I read, if anyone who ever did anything for God went through some difficult times first in preparation and training for the Lord to use them. All pastors, all Christians, any servants of the Lord go through seasons of hardship, but they do not have to become discouraged. And if when we do become discouraged, we need to get out of it. We need to snap out of it. I've told you before, going through Bible college, especially in my senior year, I was ready to give up and throw in the towel every Monday morning. Usually after a long weekend where I only slept about 4 hours from Friday to Monday because of my work schedule and having a bus ministry. I was just exhausted. And mean old Michelle over here, Miss Michelle, would wake me up with a water pistol, whatever it took. No, I told her to. I reminded her, you get me out of bed, I can't miss class, I've got to finish. We all at times get discouraged, but we need to be sure that we're following him even in difficult times. In fact, learn to adapt this situation. When things get tough, when things get hard, think to yourself, God must be getting ready to do something awesome because Satan is trying to mess with my day. And we just hang in there and hold on for the ride, knowing that God has a blessing just around the corner. You see, adversity is a powerful tool in God's hand. Think about that for a moment. Usually the difficulties we face provide perfect opportunities for God to prove his faithfulness. God knew how to use personal disappointments and frustration in Moses' life. Think about Moses. There's some other folks we can mention how God used them in a mighty way, but they went through some hardships. They were lied to. They were discouraged. They were threatened. They went through many, many hardships. In fact, there's sometimes we may have to go through a desert where a season of preparation for something greater, and sometimes God prepares that through hardship. Quick story and I'll move on. My first semester of Bible college, Michelle's younger brother Johnny was in a car wreck. Long story short, he died 10 days later after being in a coma for those 10 days. It was hard. We had to make some adjustments. We were there. We just unpacked. We were just settling in. The phone rings. I wasn't able to go. We couldn't afford to go. But Michelle's uncle stepped in and provided a way for her to go and pay for the financing for her to go to the funeral, to be there, and to come back. We didn't know what God was doing or why he was doing it. But fast forward a couple years later, a new family came in. They sold their home and they sold their farm in Indiana, went down south to go to Bible college. While they were there, they were T-boned and the whole family was in the hospital. Mom and dad and 3 children. Mom and dad was released fairly quickly. Semester school was getting ready to start. It wasn't long. And our pastor caught Michelle and I coming in church. He was waiting for us because God put it on his heart to wait for us. As we came in that night, he pulled us aside and said, Brother Doug, Michelle, there's a family in the hospital. In fact, they just got home. Their daughter's still in the hospital. They need somebody to minister to them. He said, I remember how hard it was your first semester and how God has used you since and has taught you through it. I think God wants to use this situation for you to be a blessing to this family. That week, Michelle and I made contact. In fact, we took them back and forth during the week between jobs and work hours to the hospital and to the doctors to help them settle in, and they become dear friends all through Bible college and at times even afterwards. This was the situation that God put us through, allowed us to be a blessing and a help because we empathized and we understood what they were going through. He did finish school. He did not was not able to start that semester, but he started the next semester, and he stayed instead of leaving where others may have left and stayed, and God used him and still used him today in ministry. Don't waste your life and time by harboring feelings of frustration, hurt, unforgiveness, or jealousy, because the devil will use that. And even during difficult times, we're to be a follower of him. If you will trust him, you'll experience his goodness and at the right time and in the best way possible. Remember, God can take anything, no matter how rough, how ugly, how hard, and make it into a growing opportunity and a beautiful thing. Dear friends, if we're going to be prepared for the landmines that Satan has put out there for us, we need to be surrendered. We need to be teachable. We need to stay teachable. We need to be a follower of him even when it's hard, even when it's difficult. And number four, be a seeker of godly discernment and wisdom. That's part of learning. That's part of being a follower of the Lord, is being a seeker of godly discernment and wisdom. Ask the Lord to give you godly discernment and wisdom on a daily basis. Each day starts. We don't know how it's going to start. We don't know how it's going to end. In fact, being a pastor, and it's another reason to pray for your pastor and pastoral staff and those who work in the church or deacons and other leadership, is that when we counsel and we talk to people, when people ask us a question, when people pull us aside and say, hey, I'd like to have a meal this week. I'd like to meet you for coffee. I'd like to run some things by you. I'd like to talk to you. I ask the Lord to give me wisdom. I want to be a good listener to fully understand. And even as believers, we can offer the same thing with other people. So often when our girls were at home, especially our girls, we did have a son as well, but he was a little older, but especially the younger girls, oftentimes they would want to talk or they'd have questions, and I always did my best to listen. They would come and they were talking, said, Dad, I've got a friend. And of course, no one ever wants to name their friend because often their friend's name is M.E. You get that? Yeah. But often I would just let them talk and ask them, well, what would you do in this situation? What do you think the Bible says? What would you look to in Scripture to guide that person in Scripture? And try to encourage them to get in the Word, to stay in the Word. Or if they didn't know, I would challenge them to go off to the room, spend a few minutes in prayer, search the Scriptures, and come back and let me know what they think would be good advice. But Dad, but I came to you, I want you to tell me. I said, yeah, but I also want you to learn. And we will tell you, and I will show you. You go, you put in the effort, we'll look together later, we'll find what the Bible says, and we'll pray together. But we need to be a seeker of godly discernment and wisdom, not only for self, but also for others that are watching and observing our life. And see, prayer is absolutely essential if you want to avoid landmines. It's essential. It's essential if you want wisdom from God. Ask God to teach you more and more about himself that you'll know his ways and be able to avoid Satan's traps. Have you ever asked a friend, maybe a young back in the day when you were courting, getting to know someone, or you ever asked somebody, tell me something about you that I don't know. Tell me something about you that maybe no one else knows. You ever ask anybody ask you that? Ask you about something about you that you don't know? Let me ask. Is there something about the Lord that you don't know? How well do we know about God? How much have we experienced his sovereignty, his goodness? How much have we asked the Lord to show us? What are some things you've learned in Scripture that you feel without a doubt is only because God showed you? And that only happens through prayer and time in the Word, asking God to help you. See, friend, God knows every landmine the enemy has hidden along our path. Every landmine. There's no landmine out there that I'm going to face today or tomorrow or the next day that the Lord does not already know where it's placed. That's why it's important that we walk with him, communicate with him. Obedience to God will not only expose any landmines hidden in front of you, but it also prepares a safe way for you to travel straight through any difficulty in your life. God will provide a way. The enemy's taxes do not have to destroy you. You are more than a conqueror in Jesus Christ, as we finish here with a verse that we started. Nay, in all things, we are more than conquerors through Christ. Friends, don't let hidden danger sabotage your testimony and your ministry. As I mentioned this morning, there is somebody watching and observing your life, especially if you've invited them to church, especially if you let it be known that you're a believer, especially if you've done your best to be a witness to them and encourage them or pray for them. And Satan will do all he can to discourage that and neglect that. I can't imagine how many people today that live in this world today that have made up their mind. You know, I've been watching Brother Joe's life. I've been watching old Frank over there in his life. I've been watching Ed, and I've heard them. I know they get up every Sunday morning. They go to church. They're there when the church doors are open. They're active. They're involved. You know what? I think it's real. I think I'm going to get up and go to church Sunday morning and surprise them. And then somewhere during the week when they made up their mind, you say something you shouldn't. You do something that's out of sorts. You're inconsistent in your testimony. And there's that thought that Satan plucks out and pulls it aside and puts in that person's ear. See, I told you he really wasn't. I told you she really wasn't who they said they are. We make mistakes. And I'm so glad 1 John 1:9 is still in the Bible. The Lord does forgive us. But sometimes we also need to be willing to ask others to forgive us for the mistakes that we've made. Have you ever had to tell somebody, you know, I'm sorry. There's no excuse. You caught me on a bad day, but for no other reason, I want you to understand, that doesn't change my relationship with the Lord. That doesn't change who I am in Christ, but it does prove that I'm human and I will make mistakes. If you're basing on whether you want to believe in God or not, based on my life, you may never believe in God. I'm only human. I'm doing my best. I'm striving to serve the Lord, but you need to have your own relationship with the Lord. And dear friends, we must remind ourselves, if we're going to be prepared for these landmines, we're going to be prepared for the things that Satan's going to pop up. And by the way, don't be fooled. The landmines are not outside these church doors. They're also inside. They might be right under the chair that you're sitting on. We don't know. We have no idea what Satan will do and what he will use. So let's be surrendered. Let's be teachable. Let's be a follower of the Lord. And let's be a seeker of godly discernment, always ready and willing to learn something more. Dear friends, there's no doubt in my mind, though I've read it, I don't know it cover to cover. Though I know it starts in Genesis 1 and ends in Revelation, doesn't mean I know everything in between. There's still some things I'm learning. There's still some things I want to learn. And when you've been preaching and in ministry for 30 years, wouldn't you also want something new? Not feel like you're teaching and preaching the same thing all the time. Want something new, something fresh. Lord, show me not only what I need, but show me what the people that I minister to need at the same time. Help me to guard my steps. Help me to watch for the landmines in life. Help me to learn from things that are around me, apply to my life that I might be a more effective believer, that I might be a more effective follower of Christ, that I might have a more effective testimony, and people may observe and notice things in my life. Let's pray. Father, we love you and we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for the joy of fellowship, the joy of servanthood, Father. And I pray that you'd help us, Lord, as we prepare to go into the next stage of our ministry, Lord, here at Harvest tonight. In a few moments, we'll have a baptismal service and have a little bit of an intermission before going into our business meeting. But Father, as we look back over the last few minutes, Lord, help us to be mindful. Even though we can be very excited about what's taking place tonight with a baptism, what has taken place with seeing some of the church growth within our church, decisions being made, for those are all the things that make Satan mad. Help us to be on guard. Help us to be aware, not to be fearful, but to be aware of your landmines, and help us continue to push on as we serve you and give our life and give those things in our life, Lord, that may hinder us from growing to you. Lord, help us to be mindful. We do ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, sister, if you want to go get ready, Brother Sam, you want to lead us in a song or two, we'll just give Miss Bridget a chance to get prepared and ready, and then I will be that way over there in just a moment.